Okay, ladies, we have the honor to have Pastor Chris and Dana here from the Children's Ministry. And I'm looking forward to hearing all the good news. They are very, very busy. So they keep busy with it. So the Lord bless you.
All right, well, hello.
Hi.
Good afternoon.
Does everybody know who we are? Okay. So with that said, so what, the way we decided we were going to do this is I'm going to just kind of give you a brief overview of our lives, kind of where we've been and how we got here. And then we're going to open it up for questions, and we'll tell you a little bit about Hope Ministry, what's going on with that, but then open it up to your questions. That way you can have a chance to ask any questions or, you know, make it a little interactive instead of us just sitting here talking. So I'm going to start out with, I was born in Lake Wells, Florida, 61 years ago. Dane was born in Orlando and moved around Ohio and North Carolina area, and then finally moved to Polk County and then eventually to Lake Wells where we met. We met in 1981. We married in 1982. Been married 41 years. As I was saying in the business meeting, we spent 26 of those years in ministry together in some form or fashion. Then we moved, we'd been married for, so we moved, our journey here was we moved from Lake Wells to Sunray to help my mom and dad build a new home. So we were going to buy their house when we got their new home built, and we finally did. So, but we moved to Sunray, and then we began going to a little church in Avon Park back in 1995, and we fell in love with the people of Highlands County because we would always go out to lunch. You know, we like to do that. We would go out to lunch in Highlands County around about different places, and we just fell in love with the people, the community, and then so we decided to migrate. Sure. Oh, yeah. So our church family then, which was the Sanctuary Church of God back then, our church family got to know us and know our struggle of having children and began praying and seeking God on our behalf. In September of 2000, we moved to Sebring Hills. And in December of 2000, we were made aware of the possibility of having a child. And then in March of 2001, you see God, when he hits his plan, he works pretty quick sometimes. And then in March of 2001, we were blessed with our daughter Hannah through the blessing of adoption. And I got to say, and Dana will confirm this, it changed both of our lives. Changed them forever. We truly seen for the first time what was undeniable, the hand of God in our lives. There was no question. He made it very, very clear that he was in charge of that process. And so during this time, we were both still working in Lake Wells. I was at Florida's Natural, our Citrus World, and Daniel worked for the city of Lake Wells. And then in 2002, the Lord blessed us with the business of contracting FedEx here in the Highlands County area where we delivered their packages. And so that moved me out of Citrus World and moved me into that business world. And I did that for 16 years. And then Dana was working various jobs, running the administrative side of the business business and raising a child as well. So in 2004, we began attending Bible Fellowship Church. And then in 2005, we began to serve in the children's ministry because when we left the other church, we were there every time the doors opened. We were heavily involved. So we said, you know what? You know, God's moving us. We felt him moving us to Bible Fellowship Church. But we said, you know what? We're going to take a year and soak. Because we was really busy at the other place too. So we said, we're going to take a year and soak. But after that year, we want to hear from God and where he wants us to get involved. So sure enough, 2005, he called us into the children's ministry through various different ways And that's another story, how we got there. And again, it's a God moment. So we served along Renee Ledoux until 2014 and running the Wednesday night program with the Gopher Buddies and the Olympians, and we taught on Sunday mornings. And then in 2014, Renee Ledoux retired and pursued a different occupation. Then the Lord put it on the elders and the pastor's heart to bring Dana on as the children's director. And we did that up until 2018. And the Lord was doing something in me to pull me out of the business, out of the business world, and bring me into the ministry. I just felt a tug at my heart over and over and over that, you know, the business world and everything that goes with that is all temporal. None of it is everlasting. Nothing is internal. So God began to show me that, and that the struggles with the business world and everything that goes with that, climbing the mountain and going after all the stuff, it ain't worth it. It ain't, that's because it's all temporary, and I ain't taking none of it with me. So I sold the business in 2018 to seek what God was planning for me. We started in the fall, because after I sold the business, he still hadn't told me what he wanted me to do. I just sold it in faith and said, hey, okay, where you want me to go? So he wasn't quick to answer me then. So we said, okay, so we're going to take this time, and we're going to figure it out. We're going to wait. We're going to be patient for whatever he has for us. So that gave us both the opportunity, while I was still volunteering here and she's a director now, I would continue to do that. But we had an opportunity to go to GCBI, which is a Bible college in Avon Park. So we was able to go through and do a year of the Bible college while we waited on God to decide what he wanted for me to do. And then after completing the year of Bible college, I was in my devotion one Thursday morning, and then God put Hope Ministry on my heart. And I had a meeting with Pastor Todd at 2 o'clock that afternoon. And I called him because from 6 o'clock that morning till 8 o'clock that night, the Lord had a hold of me on Hope Ministry. Going through everything he wanted me to do, the mission plan, everything. It was a lot. And all I did was type. He spoke, I typed. And so through the end of that day, Hope Ministry was born. It was on paper, the whole concept, everything we wanted to do and accomplish. So I have that. So in 2019, after praying, after seeking how this all was going to go, Bible Fellowship Church and the elders and the mission board felt really good about what we had put on paper and what we wanted to do in the community, so they got behind us. And they've been behind us ever since. And so they support us in that way, and as well as others who give to the ministry as well. And so we've been doing that. We've been doing Hope Ministry and doing the ministry here. And then in 2019, the elders and pastors decided they wanted me to come on full-time with the ministry. And so they brought me on part-time. I worked part-time for about a year until 2022. No, it was 3 years. Almost 3 years. 3 years until they decided, okay, you know, we want you to come on full-time. So I came on full-time, and then I've been working full-time since 2022. And then last June, of course, you may know, the pastors and elders decided to ordain me as a pastor. And so that's kind of been our journey here and kind of where we're at today. And so Hope Ministry has been a ministry that God over time was working on my heart, because it really all started with our bus ministry that we've been running for several years on Wednesday nights. We would go into the community and there's all these kids and our buses are full. And you can't bring them all. Well, you can't provide enough buses either. So God just began to burden my heart as you see these kids that say, can I go? And it's like, I don't have any more room, I'm sorry. I'll put you on a waiting list and we'll pick you up. So God began to work in my heart with that and just said, you know what? Instead of them, you bringing them to you, you go to them. That's what he's called us to do. We are to go, not bring. We are to go. And that Lord kept putting that on my heart. So that's kind of the evolution of how he began working in my heart. And when he was ready to give me the vision for Hope Ministry, that's where it began. My heart was just aching of leaving kids and not being able to share the gospel because a lot of these kids out there, I know good and well, they're not churched. They probably never graced the inside of a church. And so we take the church to them. So what we did is we stripped down our Wednesday night program, we put it in a trailer, and we go into communities. And we hold Bible studies, we have snack time, we have game time, we do all small group time, we do it together. We just do life with them. And then when we hear things going on, because you hear, because if you're there, you're involved, you're plugged in, then you hear what's going on in the community, you hear the hurts, you hear the pains, you hear when they're going to get kicked out because they don't have rent money, they're going to, you know, their lights got turned off, or they don't have food. So we're able to step in those, when God reveals those things to us. So we do a lot of that. Now, some of you may have saw some of the projects we've done the last 2 years where we've remodeled and basically remodeled two houses. One was for one of our children that come here on a Wednesday night and has been here for many years, for like 4 years, 5 years. And that's another story for another day. But we wound up being able to go in there and get the house that they've been trying to make livable for quite some time and was just never able to get it done. And the Lord put it on, again, my heart to see what could be done. And so God worked all the details out, made it happen. And then we had another one up in Sebring off the Parkway. It was a mom of seven kids, ages two to 15. She had her husband. She was widowed. She had been caring for her husband at home with cancer and having seven children. So she was having to care for him at home because of different reasons. And then he passed away. But over the course of those 2 years taking care of her, everything around that house fell down. I mean, it looked like a bomb went off in that house. Kids didn't have anywhere to sleep. They were sleeping on bare mattresses. The mattresses looked like they were 20 years old or longer. And none of the facilities worked. I don't know how they pulled that off. So they didn't have a refrigerator, and that's how we got in there, is because we're in a thing called Care Portal. Care Portal put it out that this family needed a refrigerator. So we went to deliver the refrigerator. When we went to deliver the refrigerator, we went to walk in the front door. We pulled on the door, they opened the door. The whole frame and everything fell out of the door. And when we walked in, it was like we was in a third world country. It was the worst thing I've ever seen. And you can't unsee what you see. So God, again, gave us a plan. And the beautiful people of our church family, and we were able to put them in a really good spot. But that's what we do. That's what Hope Ministry is there to do, is to improve the quality of lives of children, families. Our target is single moms, single dads, because it's just as hard on them too. That's our target, is to step in. Because I went through the same experience. My mom had seven children, so she was a single mom, and it was tough. So I see some of her struggles and what she struggled with to make ends meet and how hard she had to work. And it's harder today, even though it was hard back then for her. But, I kind of lived in that world. And a lot of things that goes on in children's lives, they're just a product of their environment and choices and all of those things. Not saying they're bad choices, it's just the hand they're dealt. But nobody don't know what's going on in those little kids' lives. So it's important that we're there to encourage them with the love of Christ and just let them know there is a God on the throne. He's got you, and you're going to make it through it. As hard as it may seem, he's going to get you through it. And this is kind of a verse that I've leaned on my whole life. It's always encouraged me because in the life's battles, they're always going to be there. Till you walk off the face of the earth, you're going to have battles. But we hold on to the promises of God, right? That's what we have to hold on to. And the one that I hold on to is be strong and courageous. This comes from Deuteronomy 31:6. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. For the fear of the Lord, for the Lord, your God goes with you. He will never leave you or forsake you. He's always there. And this was written to the Israelites, the Israel people, including Joshua and Solomon and Hezekiah, during the and his military officers. And it was to encourage them to stand firm and be courageous in the fight. And that's what we are to do every single day. Hold on to God's promise. Be encouraged. Stay in the fight. He's already got the victory. So we're just going to stay in the fight, keep fighting every day, and fighting for these little children, and here, and in the community, wherever God takes us, that's where we're going to go fight for them. So I will wrap it up with that, and if you have any questions, I'll be happy to answer your questions, but I'm going to turn it over to Dana and let her share a little bit. If you have any questions, we'll take those now. You can ask Dana or myself.
I would like to share one thing. He mentioned the bus ministry, but he didn't mention why that was on his heart. Because when he was 7, in his neighborhood, there was a lovely couple that came around, and they stopped one day because they were outside playing and told them if they would like to come to church with them next morning, that was on a Saturday, they would come and pick them up. And sure enough, they came, and that's how he got his heart for the bus ministry. And he's so passionate to make sure we can go out and try to pick up all these kids. We could use about 50 buses, but it's just, it's been a blessing on the other side to be able to get to do what we do. The Lord has just tremendously given us so many blessings. And to get to do it together is not common, because we work in that little tiny office right there together every day. And
all joy.
It comes with challenges sometimes. But I am so grateful that the Lord has given us what he has, and he has given me Chris, because it's just amazing through our journey what we have come across together. And if I could just share my scripture that I have leaned on over the years is, so do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Isaiah 41:10. And that is what helps me get through many challenges sometimes and just keeps me going. But I am thankful and grateful to Bible Fellowship Church and to the Lord. He's just amazing. I can't praise him enough. And I thank you guys for inviting us to speak.
Do you guys have any questions for us that you would like? Yes, ma'am. Miss Abby. Yes, ma'am. Miss Moni.
Miss Moni.
Hope Ministries. All right. What nights do you go out? What do you do? And those that we go out to on Monday nights or whatever night it is, those are not ones that come in on the bus on Wednesday nights. Run that again.
Okay. Sure. So we go out on Monday nights. We go Monday nights to a community called Veranda Breeze. And yes, a lot of those kids are kids that we minister to on Mondays that you would not go to church before. And just to share a little story with you, two of the boys that we started bringing this year, we've been after for 3 years to get them on the bus, and Mama wouldn't let them on the bus. And they finally committed this year. Mama let them come on the bus. I baptized one of them, the last baptism. And so that's the second one. The baptism before that, I baptized a little girl from that community. So yes, ma'am, they are very much, that's what our aim is to do, is to get these kids churched. So we go out, we speak into their life, and hopefully that's what happens from that, is they will begin to want to come to church. Okay? So yes, but we have other kids that we pick up that were not in their community, so not all the kids that come are not part of where we go. And then on Tuesday nights, we go to Heartland Christian School. And then we do Bible studies there after in their aftercare program. And so we go there and do that with them. And then those kids, we have a lot of those kids now come here just because of our relationship building and those things. And we've taken several of those kids to camp with us. So that's been a blessing as well. So yeah, there is that transition. And my motto is what I try to do. I try to get more touches with the scripture in each kid's life. So the more, if I can get them on a Monday night, and then I get them here on a Wednesday night, I've touched their lives twice that week with the gospel. And if I can get it on Sunday, that's three. So that is our goal, get as many touches in one little child's heart as we can in a week. So if I can get to them on a Monday or a Tuesday, get them here on a Wednesday, that's at least two touches. So right now we're looking, we've been praying about a different spot on Thursday night. The one we had kind of resolved on us for various reasons. And so because, I won't go into that, but you know, God's got it. So we're looking for another spot on Thursday night to go out. And then we, of course, do the Wednesday night ministry here. And then we go to the schools on Friday. We go to Woodlawn on Friday and just build relationships with the kids during lunchtime. So we're trying to get in their aftercare, but we're taking baby steps. Yeah. So with that. So.
Do you want to know what a Monday night looks like?
Well, Monday night.
Do you want to know what we actually do from the time we get there till we leave? Do you want to know that?
Okay, so what we do on a Monday night, when we get there, we have playtime, like we do here. If you come and look at our Wednesday night program, we mimic it. We just scale it down. We put it in a trailer, and we haul it out there, okay? So when we come in, the first thing we do is we set up, and we have games. We have gaga ball. We have basketball. I have a gaga pit. I have a basketball court. I have all that in that little Hope Ministry trailer y'all see parked out back. That's what's in that trailer. There's all kind of games and all that stuff in there. So when we get there, we set up, we play games. We play games until 5 o'clock because we get out there at 4. We play games till 5. Then we have Bible from 5 to 5:30. And then after that, we have a 15-minute snack time. And then they go back and play, and or we share, or we just have conversations, whatever that looks like, until 6 o'clock.
Interaction and constantly.
It's just, yeah, it's constant interaction. And then on Tuesday, basically the same thing. We arrive there at 4. We do Bible study from 4 to 4:30. Then after that, we provide a snack for them. And then after that, then we spend 5:30 playing games, interacting, building relationships. Because it's through those relationships that we encourage them to either find a church if they're not in a church. So that's how a lot of that transition. Because it's really all about the relationship first, right? Build the relationship. Make the connection. Once you make the connection and they see that you're genuine and that you genuinely care, not only for their physical well-being, but their spiritual well-being, it translates. And we've seen it over and over and over. But my little deal is set that little fire, little light on fire, and then send him back in that household. Okay, because I've seen that. That the Lord will take that little spark in that kid and send it back into a home. And over the 20 years we've been doing ministry here in children's ministry, we've seen it work time and time and time. We've seen families that were just a mess, and one little youngin get his life led on fire by the Lord, and it changed the whole family. God just works in amazing ways, and we get the benefit of getting to see it happen. Yes, ma'am.
now they're 10 or 11. How long do you stay in contact with them?
Out in the field, you mean?
Out in the, yes.
Oh.
Those nights, apart from Monday night.
Three, four, to 15.
Well, okay, so let's just take Legend, for instance, and then Legend, we've been in the community, Veranda Breeze. He was two when we got there, and he was coming to our Wednesday night, our Monday night program. He is now six in the first grade, and now he's coming here. So we've had these 3 years, and now he just loves coming. He loves worship. He just, because we listen to worship music on the bus, and don't dare turn that volume down. Fran was somebody we met early on in Hope Ministry our first year. He lived in Parkcrest, and we met him over there and started ministering to him and picking him up on the bus in Parkcrest. He was like third grade, and we started ministering to him, bringing him here, and then he moved to Veranda Breeze, and then now he's been a product and a big help. He's been kind of a mentor to the littler kids, and he still comes to this day, and he's in ninth grade, so he's still coming, and he is a blessing. He really is. God's got his hand on him. But again, we started with him almost 7 years ago, just through the bus ministry, and now through Hope Ministry. And, you know, so there is longevity there. That's one of the things that the Lord put on my heart years ago in our Wednesday night program, is that every year when they come into the program, when they come into first grade into Olympians out of Gopher Buddies, they stay with their leader. Their leader moves with them all 5 years to build that relationship. And some of our leaders that have moved on and retired, they still have relationships. They still send birthday cards. They still call them on their birthdays. They still have a conversation with them still today. And they're grown men and they're grown women. And they're still having those relationships today. And because, again, it goes back to that relationship. Being that mentor. Because we know, we kind of have a little bit of insight as to life can be pretty crazy. And it's, there's going to come a time they're going to need somebody. And so we've been blessed with that, and we encourage all of our leaders. That's one of the biggest things that we do in our Wednesday night ministry, because again, relationship with Christ first, and then it's relationship with our brothers and sisters. That's what's going to get us through, because we're only here temporary, and it ain't going to be easy through this wall. So we need each other, and we need it through the relationship building. Ms. Kat, did you have a question?
It's just, can you give an example of one of the kids at Parkway, whatever?
Veranda.
That really excited you from what their reaction?
From just.
Can you think of something?
From just.
Just from learning about Jesus and.
Lariel.
And Tristan.
Lariel and Tristan. We got the young lady that I baptized. She is really, she's amazing. But then a little guy, Tristan, he just started going to church with his dad. Again, this is that little fire, and his mom and dad are split.
Yeah.
So he spends a weekend with his dad. But dad started taking him to church. And that, just happened in the last couple months. So I believe that little spark, his questions going back into that home and talking to Dad, there was some conversation there, and Dad seen a hunger for the Lord. And he was so excited. He got a Bible, and we brought it. We gave him a Bible. He didn't have a Bible. We gave him a Bible, and he is so excited about carrying that Bible around. And we see that a lot. I mean, Fran is my poster child.
Yeah.
Really. To watch his steadfastness over the years and be excited. I'll tell you a little example. He loves basketball. He loves everything about basketball. He lives it and breathes it. He texted me, he said, Mr. Chris, he said, I'm trying out for the basketball team, but practices are on Wednesday. Is it going to be okay if I miss church? Do I need to make a choice here to whether I go to church or play basketball? I said, no, God give you that gift. Go use God's gift for his glory, right? It's okay, you know. That's only for a short time. Basketball season ended, and it just ended. He texted me Wednesday and said, Mr. Chris, basketball season's over. Are you going to pick me up? Yep, I'm coming. And he does his own blogs. He does his own Bible scripture blogs. He speaks to other youth through a blog that he does. So he's just an amazing kid. But, you know, we have a lot of amazing kids out there. But as far as, yeah, and we got a young lady. When she first came here, we started picking her up on the bus. She was rough.
Very.
Rough around the edges. But again, you love those edges. You smooth them with love and grace. And she has really, she's a different person. She really is. And she gets mad because she ain't the first one dropped off. But she's texting me wanting to know.
We have lots of conversation.
She's a different person, and she wants to be here. She makes sure that we're going to be there to get her. And she has a rough life. She's come up through a rough life, but you just see, and we see that countless. They're not just the ones that we bring on from the neighborhood, but some of our own kids that show up here. You know, they're rough. You know, it's rough, and we just got to love those edges down, and we watch them change. We watch the Lord just do something in them, and it's not us. It's the Lord. It's the presence of the Lord doing what the Lord does. We just get the benefit of watching what God is doing. So. Yes, ma'am.
I was just curious, in the small amount of time that you have, if there was any way you could help them with their homework.
Well, we've actually started talking to, you talking about Woodlawn?
No, yeah, I work at Fred Wild.
At Fred Wild? We are working on a process to see how we can do that. So. In the community, you mean? Yes. It's.
And your efforts are working, because sometimes they're so funny. You'll ask a question. I can't even think of a question to tell you that I asked. They'll mention God in the middle of a classroom of a bunch of kids. They're not embarrassed by that.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, again, it's the Lord. He's gave us this opportunity to do this, and we're blessed. We want to do those things. We're trying to look to expand those things, but again, it takes more people.
A group used to come to our school before COVID.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember what day it was, and they had a little Bible study or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then they quit coming.
Good News Club?
Yes, mm-hmm. Good News Club.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that door is closed. They've been trying. They've been knocking. And
they won't open.
Yeah. They haven't gotten any results from knocking and knocking.
Right.
So
they're persistent, you know.
Yeah.
They keep knocking, but
there's some different challenges there that we don't have in some of the other schools.
Yeah.
So, and you know, God will work through those. He you know, that's
teachers are saying that you don't love children, you don't want to work at Gridwell.
Yeah.
Because it's a rough group.
Yeah.
They have a rough life, and some of them show it.
And that's why we've targeted that community. Because it's everything in that whole, because we get a lot of kids that come over from all those different communities. It's just not Veranda Breeze kids. It's not just Veranda Breeze kids. We have them come from all that Heartland Homes area. It's the trailer park next doors. It's Park Crest, and then the other homes around the area. Hope Villas area there.
And we have actually had to let them go now in sections of 10 at a time because of the fights that those kids get in going home. Trying to resolve that.
Yeah, and
so it's bad in that area.
It really is. Yeah. And that's why we've
you do the cookout thing you had one day.
Yep, we had that event in Fall Fest in November. We did a Fall Fest, brought out all the families. And we did burgers and played games and just had a great day. We try to do more of those things. We're trying to, because there's a lot of things insurance-wise that we found that we can't do, so we've had to retool. So we've spent a season trying to figure that out, what that's going to look like. So now we've figured that out, and so we're going to be able to do more of those things with them. And we partner with them a lot, and we do a lot of those different activities in there. We partner with the schools. We just went and did partnered with Cracker Trail. We brought our Gaga pit out. We did the hoedown. We go out there and do that. We try to partner with the schools as much as we can. But we're looking for avenues and looking for ways that we can build those relationships. Encourage them. So
it's working. I can see
it. Well, we thank you for that, and we're you know, as Lord continues to bring the volunteers, because we're in damage control mode right now. Because when you got 15 to 20, and you, like I said, they're rough kids. They're good kids.
They're good kids.
And so they give us an area in that community, and when they're in that area, they're under our authority, and the parents know that. Veranda Breeze has given us that authority, so when they're there, we have to make sure that they're safe.
Right.
So that's, we have to be not only teachers and game providers and all that, but we've got to be the people that keeps them safe and protect them. So.
And it's just the two of us right now.
So our daughter was coming for a while. Yeah. So we're just praying the Lord will open the door.
Yeah.
More people will want to get involved in what we're doing. And, you know, so the Lord's got his hand on that.
He's
got
a plan.
So. Mm-hmm. Anybody else?
Can I hear us one more?
Still, yes, ma'am. As many as you want. You got. Yes, ma'am.
Those two words are love and relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And I see that in you. It makes me almost want to cry.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to commend you, first of all.
Mm-hmm.
And secondly, I couldn't figure out, if you're remodeling a house for a mother of seven children, you do not do that all by yourself. Who helps you?
Bob Schroeder and his group.
That was the Tuesday crew.
Tuesday crew.
That's been 2 years.
Yeah, Bob has been, and his crew has been a blessing. They've come up. They came alongside me and jumped on board. They saw. I took Bob, showed him. And he helped us, and so in both of those situations, he helped me. So.
That's way bigger than just.
Yeah, it's way bigger than me. Yeah, way bigger.
Yeah. That was a stripped down, complete remodel.
Yeah.
Had to be.
But.
God is good.
Again, when you take a step of faith, you're going to see the hand of God. My faith gets me in trouble sometimes. I'm not afraid. If God calls me to it, and this is something I teach my kids all the time. If God calls me to it, he's going to get me through it. And I don't care what it is. I don't care how monumental that task may look or how big that battle may be. God is going to get us through it. And that gets me in trouble because the things that I won't say no to. Because when you're running two full-time ministries and then you take on a project like that, you're burning on all ends. But at the end, I have more energy than I started with. But that's a God thing, right? And then I have the privilege to step back and say, God did that because it's so far beyond anything I could do. It was all God. And what does that do for the next time? It just continues to cause me to step out. So I'm not afraid.
I can say at that project when the family got to come home to the unveiling, if you want to say, he was able to share God's word with them and tell them, this was God. God did this for you. So this was nothing that man did. So you need to make sure you understand.
My message to them, my message to them when I left them that day was, yes, you see how God transformed this house. Imagine what he can do in your life. Okay, so that was my message I want to leave. This was not about transforming your house. He's more concerned about transforming your life than the house.
Can you share, at Christmas time you did something.
Mm-hmm. Season of Hope. Season of Hope is a thing that we took on. It used to be Christmas in the Highlands. You've probably heard of that. For many, many years, a good friend of mine, actually, from my other church, Joe Stubblefield. Well, he was someone we went to church with and we served with in other ministries. And so this was an organization he started years ago called Christmas in the Highlands. And then when COVID hit, and I wasn't really aware of much about it. But he called me Christmas of 2020 because they didn't have any way of doing Christmas in the Highlands and they were going to have to do it different. They were going to have to do a drive-through type. They weren't going to be able to have a gathering. They weren't going to be able to do anything with that. So they needed a place to do a drive-through and a place to set up and do the gifts and all this stuff. So I told him, sure, I would, let me work on it and see what I could come up with. So I talked to the pastors and the elders, and they approved to let them use our campus for 2020 during COVID. So we did a drive-through. We bagged the gifts up, and they would come through, and they would get the gifts, pick them up, and they would just leave. So that's kind of, but through that process, Joe's health was failing. And he began having conversations with me to be in prayer because he would really like for me to take over the organization. So I prayed about it, talked to Dana about it, and we prayed about it. And so we decided that summer, I called him and said, okay, but here's how it's going to have to go. You know, we're going to adopt it under Hope Ministry, and we're going to rename it. For various reasons, there's parts of the way they did things I didn't agree with. I'll just be upfront with that. So I wanted to redo it, and everything had to be first and foremost about the true gift at Christmas, right? About the message. It's an outreach ministry, and with that comes opportunity. Because these are people that are hurting in a time of Christmas. So we called it, we renamed it, the Lord gave me Season of Hope, because that's what it is, right? The birth of Christ is a season of hope, right? That's what we all cling to, is the hope of his promises, right? So it was born. First year out the door, we had 11 kids that first year, and we collected many gifts. The Lord blessed us through the gift giving. And so I was a bit discouraged, you know, but the Lord, through the next year, he showed me a new process of how it needed to be done. And the next year we set a goal of 150 to service 150 kids, and we give each kid 5 gifts each. And we put them in dark plastic bags. When they come in, first thing they check in, or we put it out online, they register their kids. We put it in all the schools in the county, every school in the county, post it. We take it around town, we post it, and they can register online. We make it very, very easy for them to register. And then when they show up here, they get through the registration process. We have a message first and foremost. We do the message, then they come over here, and then they take their bags that we have filled over those weeks that we fill. Because as they register, we know what the child's name is, or what the child's name, their age, male or female. So we know what gifts to appropriate. And we pick gifts for those kids. We put them in a black garbage bag, because the black garbage bag to me is about ensuring the dignity for the parents. This puts it back in their control, to where the kid don't know what's in that bag. Most of these little guys don't know what they're even here for, but the parents do. But they get to take that bag home and put it up and wrap those gifts, or put them under the tree for Christmas morning. So I want to make sure that we uphold that and maintain their dignity as best we can. They're not here for a handout, because they're not. They're not really. They just find themselves in a tough place. And through God's grace, we're able to step in and show the love of Christ in a tangible way, right? So they come in, they get their gifts, and they leave. It's an easy, we're in and out of here, and on a that Saturday morning, we're generally in and out of here in an hour. We give the parents, yeah, I always have a message for the parents. I give them a book, some kind of a, whatever the Lord has laid on my heart that year. I try to put a book of encouragement, a word of encouragement in a book, and give it to the parents. Again, it's all about the relationship. It's all about getting that message to them. Because really, at the end of the day, the greatest gift we celebrate at that time of year is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He's the greatest gift given to all of us. And I want to try to keep their focus on that as much as I can, and not so much their circumstances and where they find themselves on those hard days. So
we learned a lot over the last 2 years. So this year, yeah. This past year, so much more smooth.
Yeah. last year our goal, or like I said, first year we had 11 kids. Yeah. Second year we had 100. We said, okay, we're going to trust God, he's going to let us serve 150. And then we signed up 203 that second year. This year we signed up over 250. So the Lord, but this year was a different year, because it was storming that day. So it held some of the people home, and we know that. It was nasty. So that kind of held some things back. But what the Lord taught me through that first year, even in my discouragement, He was doing something. Because now what we're able to do, He showed me, He says, Chris, I was building inventory, so you know this year what you're going to be able to do next year. You already have inventory that's going to carry over to next year. And then you can project. God had a plan the whole time. I just didn't see it. I really was discouraged that first year. And but God has just, again, taken my ashes and made some beautiful art with it. So,
is so. Your goal higher now?
Ma'am?
Is your goal higher now?
It is. We're gonna we shot for 200. We went from 150 to 200 this year. We went to 250, so we're gonna shoot for 250. But our limit is our size of our sanctuary. So by the time you do 250 kids, and then you add the families in there, you fill it pretty quick because we only have like a 400 seat sanctuary. So, but when it's packed out, we'll move them over here. So that's something cool that. That's come from Hope Ministry and being able to do that. And it really is. And these are relationships that we meet people here and a lot of those families come from Veranda Breeze area and some of these other areas. We service even our own church family. There's some families in our Wednesday night group that are struggling and they sign up for it and are able to come and be blessed by it. So,
there is a family that came several years ago. I think their oldest daughter is 15 now, and she was like 3 when they first came, and they just kind of went away one day. Well, not this past year, but the year before, they signed up for Season of Hope, and they came, and we recognized them, recognized the name. Didn't see him for a while. They signed up again this year and came. And 2 weeks later, they have now come back to church on Sunday. Wow. So they're all coming back, which is awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. So every touch, every opportunity. That's what we pray about every day.
Yeah.
Let's say, okay, God, what? Where's the opportunity today, right? And when He puts it on our heart, we're going to be obedient. And we're going to run to it. So because we see what God does through whatever He lays on our heart to do, if we're just obedient and do it, we get to see the fruit of that sometimes, not always, but yeah. So I just pray He'll give me another 20 years doing it.
Amen.
We love doing it. I mean, you want to see the hand of God? Get right in the depths of ministry. So it's hard, but it's rewarding. I've got way more back than I could ever give. Just watching God do what God does, and that's for both of us. And then being able to do it together, and then our daughter. I can't say enough about my daughter. Like I said, she was a blessing from the Lord. We dedicated her to the Lord when she was first born. And that's all she's known her whole life is children's ministry. We have been in children's ministry our whole life. And she serves faithfully every Sunday, every Wednesday.
She never complains.
Never complains.
She's been right there by our side the entire time. Yeah. She could have been doing whatever.
She could go
but
on.
But she chose to be a part of this ministry, and she still is. She is almost 23.
Mm-hmm.
So she is faithful. It is just such a blessing to just have her beside us and know that she truly loves the Lord. She just loves Him so much. So
y'all be praying for a good godly man to come her way.
Yeah, we're praying for the man He has for her. Yeah.
Yeah, she's praying, but she won't get outside the house and go do nothing to find one. He's gonna have to look in the crevices to find her. Because she don't get out much. She goes to work, she comes home, she comes to church. And that's really all she does.
Yeah.
And then she'll go to Universal with us once in a while.
Yeah.
But I love her. Oh my gosh.
Yep.
But that's, you know, if anybody ever wants to be a part of what we're doing, you know, feel free. We're an open door. And you don't have to commit to every week, you know. You just want to come out for a time, you know. It takes no commitment. It's what God's doing in your heart that day. And if at that day he's called you to come help and serve with us, we don't look for any commitment. We don't do that. Again, it's about maybe you have a conversation with one of these kids that just absolutely just changes their life. And if you hadn't have been there that one day, you wouldn't have had that conversation. But if you can't commit, that's okay. If you can't commit to every day, that's fine. You know, if you give one day a year, imagine what you can do with that one day. So.
But we need your prayers, and we appreciate your prayers, definitely.
Yeah, we covet them very much.
Yes, for sure. Thank you guys,
Randy. This has been such a blessing.
Moni, would you come up and help me pray over Chris and Dana, please? She's a powerhouse.
Yes.
You can sit down if you don't
you sure?
mind.
Yep.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
You better watch out when I pray for
you. Hey, come on. Come on. Come on.
We are believing.
Heavenly Father, we have found out today that you are first and foremost in this couple's lives. Whatever they are doing is for your glory. Thank you that you have put within them to show love because of Jesus, to build relationships because of Jesus. Thank you for that. I want to pray Psalm 25, 4 and 5 for this couple. It is so clear. Show us your ways, O Lord. Teach us your paths. Guide us in your truth and teach us, for you are God, our Savior, and our hope is in you all day long. And I love the ministry that they have, Hope Ministries. So, Lord, we commit them to you. And I know good and well, and I've never heard them complain, never, never. But I know good and well they need help. They need help for the summer. It was in our bulletin last week. I've been praying hard about that. Lord, I pray that you would put it on the hearts of all of us, whatever we should do to help. And if it's praying, that's huge. So, Lord, we just put that out to you, and we ask that you would bring them in, the ones that you want to volunteer. So we thank you for today, and we thank you for this couple. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
And dear Heavenly Father, we praise you and thank you for the message, Lord, that you speak loudly and clearly, Lord, through this couple, Lord. And I thank you for the spiritual fathers and the spiritual mother that you have imparted into their lives, Lord. We pray, Father, this is a harvest field, Lord, and we see the harvest and how you are working in young people's lives, children, Lord. They have been so such a hard time for children these days, Lord, but you use Chris as a spiritual father, as a spiritual mentor, Lord, and you use Dana as a spiritual mama, Lord. And I thank you for the love that just flows freely through their lives, Lord. We pray your protection over them, Lord, and we pray your blessings over them, that the Lord bless you and keep you, the Lord make his face to shine upon you and to be gracious upon you, and he lifts up his countenance upon you and smiling upon you and give you his peace, that guard of peace over your hearts and over your minds. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
And thank you for coming.
Thank you for
imparting the vision.